Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on today's show. Joining me from the Creative Control team, we have Neil the Treatment. How are you doing, Neil?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. And we also have Sasha, Sashman, half man, half amazing. How are you doing, Sasha?
Only half amazing.
Only half amazing. All right. Well, thank you for being here, guys. We are talking top movies of 1988. If you're not familiar with the series, we've basically gone through year by year since 1980, giving our top 10 lists. Now, we each have our own lists, but this is like a draft pick. So we each put forward nominations to be put forward into our final list, and it's a cumulative list between us all. As there's three of us today, we're each going to get three picks to put forward, which makes things a little bit easier, you know, to make sure we get the ones we want in there. And then we're going to end up fighting on, or voting really on the last spot. But there'll be debates, I'm sure. So that is how this works. We run from films released in the US domestic box office from the 1st of January to 31st of December for the calendar year. So if you think a film maybe has not been released in that year, we'll double check it. But that's kind of the window that we're looking at, because obviously back in the 80s and 90s, films were released in different windows depending on the continent. But that's where we are. So just before we hit that list, thank you very much for being here, whether you're watching or listening. As always, please make sure you hit that like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. Make sure you share our content, whether you like it or not. Do us a favor. Why not? You can catch a video version on YouTube, and the audio is available on Apple Podcasts and any major podcast platform. Right, gentlemen, let's kick off the show. Neil, you haven't been on the last episode, so I'm going to come to you first and give you your first pick. So what is your first pick to make the Creative Control top 10 movies of 1988?
My first film... When I realized this film came out in 1988, there was no other film I was picking. It is number one on my list. It's the first film I'm picking. I genuinely don't really care about any other film on this list barring this one. Right. So when I pick, like, if other things I don't want don't make it, I'm okay. Scrooged.
Scrooged. That's Bill a great Murray. Shout. Yes.
Oh, that.
Nah. It made our top 10 Christmas movies of all time list. Yep. Absolutely. And it did make my top list as well. It did make my top 10. Oh, yeah. Fantastic movie, great comedy. And yeah, it's a Christmas movie, but you can watch it anytime. Bill Murray's just fantastic. It's a classic retake of...
A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol, thank you. I'm thinking of a Tale of Two Cities there for some reason. But yeah, it's a remake of A Christmas Carol. And it's a great version. It's like a modern day version for that time. TV exec. And, you know, I love the fact that they narrate the story that they're creating a television show based on The Christmas Carol. And then it happens to Bill Murray's character throughout. So yeah, it was number five in my list. So absolutely definitely needs to be there. Sasha, was Scrooge on your list?
I have to rethink my list because I want to put it in the top 10.
Oh, it wasn't there.
It wasn't there because I thought it was next year for some reason. So,
I thought the same thing as well. But
I'm going to have to put it as an honorable mention, to be honest. Not because it's bad. I'm looking at what to take off the list. This year's a packed, stacked year.
It is.
And it's hard. Yeah. And it's really hard. So, as much as I like Scrooged, and, you know, if I had more time, I would rethink it. I'd rethink it and put it in the top 10 or make it go in the top 10 somewhere. And I do like my comedy movies, as I keep mentioning in every, because I grew up on mainly comedy stuff as a kid, you know. So I'm looking at a certain comedy and I'm like, it is better than that. But I've watched that a hell of a lot more. Does that make sense?
I have a feeling.
Yeah,
I
know which, absolutely.
When you're talking about, I have a feeling I know which one you're talking about. And I'm like, have I seen that more?
I don't think you know. I don't think we're on the same wavelength on what I'm talking about.
Ooh, well, interesting. We'll see.
I've got two comedies on here. One of them, I think, is what you're thinking of, Neil. The other one that I'm specifically doing, I don't think for some reason, I don't think it'll be on your list for some reason.
Oh, interesting. Well, this year was...
If it's the film I think it is, one of them is in my list and the other is in my honorable mentions.
I could see this being in a lot of honorable mentions, but this movie, I won't go into it because now I'm hyping it up. it's not even going to be one I'm going to... Put it this way, I could easily let it go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why
I'm
thinking Scrooged. But yeah, because we're getting to an era where how many times did we actually rewatch shit? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Like my 89 list, I'm going to say this. My 89 list will be a film that I've rented, the most rented film I've ever rented.
Yeah, yeah. This year particularly for me was stacked with comedy. I think I've got 7 comedies in my top 10. It was a real strong year for comedy. So I've actually got a lot in there. So yeah these lists are going to get interesting.
The hardest one to pick for me was my number one, because I'm still deciding. My number one and two are neck and neck.
Ooh, interesting.
For two totally different reasons. If you know me very well, you could easily guess one of those films.
I know what both of them are.
Yeah, I know you do. We talked about it because it's like, which one is it?
Oh, I see.
I'm in my head, I'm just waiting to see who's one and who's two.
Right.
But I'm like, okay. I have a feeling I know which one is one.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'd imagine it's got to be one of these two films. It's going to be, this film's going to be in either one or two of your list. But I'll put mine down. It's Die Hard. It's my number one. It's clear of everything else. It's probably in my, it would be in my top 10 movies of all time. I think it's funny. These are two Christmas movies, but it's just the way it hits. It's the action, it's the comedy, the writing was spot on. And it just delivers in so many ways. And the repeat viewings, my word, you know, it was on, you know, again, renting VHS, TV, you know, and again, even now, if it will drop on TV and I'm channel flicking, I could just pick it up wherever it goes and just finish watching it. And it'd actually be very difficult for me to not continue watching it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, something about this movie. So Die Hard, number one on my list. It makes this list. That's the second draft pick. Cool. Sasha. Oh, yeah, go on.
Joe, I have a question, right? The first time you saw Die Hard, I take it was on video.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Was it a bought video or was it a recorded video?
Mine was a bought video.
Right.
Because my dad had the Die Hard 1 and 2 pack.
Oh. It was
2 tapes. One box. It was like a big fat VHS.
Yeah, the fat box. I remember.
Yeah. Okay. You got it too. And it was bought for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad didn't care about like how old we had to be to watch stuff, but he generally would watch the thing first, just in case there was certain things that he felt we shouldn't see. And he was just like, yeah, they're fine with Die Hard. It's fine. Like, yeah. Die Hard 1 and 2 got watched. Mm-hmm. Over and over that Christmas and New Year's, and then continued to be a staple every Christmas, like until I willed it to be like a Christmas film.
Yeah, I think it might have been rented because 88, it would have been at least 12 months before it came onto the rental video.
That's
and
right.
Then obviously it would have been another 12 months before it would have been available to purchase, because from like cinema release to home.
Yeah,
it was at least 2 years or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at least a year apart of everything.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it would have been a rented one. We probably rented it as a family movie, because I would have been, you know, time that was there. So I've probably been about 9, 10, and I think we probably watched it then. I have a feeling it was rented. Yeah.
Okay, cool. The reason I ask is because the first time I watched Die Hard, it was recorded from ITV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it doesn't surprise me.
It aired at like, it must have aired at like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was the edited version?
He never said, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He said, yippee-ki-yay, kimo-sabi.
Sabi.
For the longest time, until I owned this movie, until I went to a shop and bought it myself, I always thought it was yippee-ki-yay, kimo-sabi. And when I watched it for the first time, owning it, like, I think it must have been DVD by now, and first time owning it, and it was like yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. It was like hearing your granddad scream, because I was like, what?
You must have lost your shit. Yeah. Yeah, rewind.
Yeah,
did you say that? Yeah, so Die Hard, yeah, obviously would have been edited heavily for TV. And, you know, my family didn't actually buy many videos when we were younger, so we did rental quite a lot. But the only videos we really purchased was like Disney. because they were classics and they were almost like collectors.
The yellow
everything
spine.
Else we kind of rented. And sorry?
Disney with the yellow spine.
Yeah. And so it was, Disney we purchased, everything else we pretty much rented. But then I started collecting VHS videos when I was about 13, 14. I just started buying. And and then it got into a whole habit, which lasted well into my 30s and 40s. So there we go. Right, Sasha, coming to you for your first draft pick. What is your first movie you're putting into the top 10 list?
Okay, because I know how this works finally after many episodes. I'm going to put in Grave of the Fireflies.
Right.
Yeah. This film is a Studio Ghibli film. It is the most deepest fucking movie on this list or off the year. All right. Any grown man that doesn't cry at this movie is not only heartless, but shouldn't live. Like, shouldn't leave. You deserve to die. Like, as a human being.
Be careful with that, because, like, you know.
No, being serious, being straight up serious. You'll know it when you see it. You'll be like, oh, damn. So, what is it about? It is literally about Japan during the Second World War kind of thing. As the bombing of Japan takes place and stuff. Mm. And it's seen through the eyes of two children. They've both lost their parents. The older brother has to look after his little sister, and I'm tearing up right now, and it's emotional damage, man.
Emotional damage.
It is emotional damage, man. It's like kids at war, all right? Like, fuck me. Like, the shit that goes on right now, today, in the world, like, wow. That film is an eye-opener. What kills it is it's a true story.
Right. Okay.
The whole animation is a true story. So it's based on a book, and the novelist that wrote the book is the...
one of the two kids.
Is one of the kids. I do believe it's... No, it's the brother. It's the brother. Okay. So, yeah. And it's... emotional damage, man. Seriously, man. It's deep. So when I turn around to Andreas, and I'm talking to you, Andreas, I know you can hear it. Heed me when I say, this film will wreck you, bro. So if you're saying like anime, blah, 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 cool. I understand, yeah, but this is cinema, all right? This is cinema. Now, because it's Studio Ghibli, there's a lot of children that saw this movie. and Studio Ghibli, to balance it out, this was part of a double bill. And what was the double bill? It's in my honorable mentions. My Neighbor Totoro. I'm saying it wrong. Either way, I've only seen that film once. That was not my cup of tea. Very, very kid-friendly. And very, very lighthearted after one would watch Grave of the Fireflies. You know what I mean? Like, Grave of the Fireflies is not a long film by the stretch of it. You know what I mean? But it is a film that once you watch it the one time, it won't leave you. It will not leave you. You will be like, shit. And the fact I'm getting emotional just talking about this film, like, legit, like, it deserves to be, like, I've got it number 6 maybe, but deep down I know it should be higher because of, you know what I mean? Like, fucking most fucking films by Hollywood filmmakers ain't as good as this film, all right? None of films that have come out this year has touched this film. So that's my honest opinion on Grave of the Fireflies.
I'll
shut up now about it, and we'll move on to something a bit more lighthearted. So
But no, I've made a point that I haven't watched any of the Studio Ghibli films, and they're definitely on my watch list. And yeah, seeing and hearing that now, it's like maybe this will be the first one I watch. So
I'm just going to say to you right now, you got some films you need to watch before you get to Studio Ghibli.
Right? Okay, you need to send me a list then. Maybe we'll do an episode just on Studio Ghibli.
I wonder if that's on Disney Plus, Grave of Fireflies. They've got quite a few of them on there.
I imagine it is
because they pretty much have all of them. But if it's not there, then it would be on Netflix.
Yeah, because Netflix have a lot of them on there.
All of them.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll do an episode on Studio Ghibli films, and we can talk a little bit about them. And you know, because again, there's not going to be that many people out there who are familiar with that studio and their work, so or just haven't had the opportunity or the inkling to start it. But I've only ever heard amazing things, and it's always up there when it comes to the Oscars. You know, it doesn't really matter if Pixar or anything is, if you have a Studio Ghibli film up there, it's taking the win. So, all right. So that's our first three films. Right, coming round to you, Neil, for your second pick. What makes the draft?
Well, you see, the thing is, again, as Sasha said, right, there's certain times where there's certain films I can rely on certain films to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't rely on certain films to make it.
Okay, I have a feeling where you're going with this, but yeah, go on.
Because of that, I am going to throw in...
A few moments later.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it in just to make sure it's there. Child's Play.
That's the one I knew who was going to pick.
Damn right, I was going to pick Child's Play.
Right, so why Child's Play, Neil?
There's a lot of people rolling around this world who only know Chucky, the doll, from like Bride of Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's still to this day the most famous of the movies is Bride of Chucky. But they did not earn the right to watch Bride of Chucky by going through Child's Play and Child's Play 2 and Child's Play 3. They didn't go through that. They didn't earn that right. And I remember watching Child's Play 1, right? I was like, yeah. Well, I lie. I remember watching Child's Play 2.
Right.
And that was the only film that I ever watched. And admittedly, I was in single numbers when I watched it, so perhaps I shouldn't have. But I watched that film. And that night, I slept. I had the Sword of Thundera that you have behind you.
Yeah.
I had the plastic version.
Mm-hmm.
I slept with that thing in a tight grip. I thought, if even one of these action figures move without my say-so, everything's going to hell. And then I got older and I watched Child's Play 1 and I saw exactly how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a movie.
It is an iconic thing, Chucky and Child's Play. And it's, yeah, I remember watching that. And I think, yeah, I was probably too young to be watching that when I did. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it was probably one on TV that I watched. It was on like a late night. It probably came on like 11 o'clock, like on ITV or something like that. And yeah, I remember that staying with me for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Afterwards. There's one scene as well, right? In Child's Play 1. It's just one scene. Where, because they had a doll that they'd, mechanicalized and could use it so it could walk around. But there's one scene when Andy, the little boy, is like looking out of a window and he can see Chucky's coming to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And in this moment, they chose, instead of using a doll, they used a miniature person. Dressed like Chucky, and they had this moment where he looks over a balcony and he can see a staircase and he sees the little Chucky climb up the stairs and run. Oh my gosh, I thought that's a real person.
Yeah, they I do know that because I've read this a little while back, when they did the test screenings for Chucky, it was about a 2-hour cut. And it didn't get, the reviews weren't that great. So what they did is they went back and cut 25 minutes of the film to reduce the amount of time Chucky was on screen.
They cut out almost all of Chucky.
Yeah, because they wanted to keep it more in the line of like Jaws and Aliens, like less is more. instead of him being on screen too much. And I know that they had a fallout in the production afterwards as well. And one of them left and they had to bring some other people to come in and re-edit the film. But yeah, I know there was a lot of changes from the original one. So yeah,
there was. And I tell you, the moment, if for those like, okay, technically it's spoilers for a film that is, you know, 30 some odd years old.
Yeah.
But there's the moment in the film when the mother is holding Chucky and she's like, I know you're real. You talk or you're going in the fire. And Chucky goes from like, to you stupid bitch. I still to this day, that's got to go down top 10 moments of like, oh shit.
Those two moments, yeah. Yeah, and they dubbed Chucky's voice as well from the original cut. So, because apparently they said the voice didn't match too much and then they redubbed it. So the version we got.
Well, I think it was later. Because the guy who plays Charles Lee Ray, Brad Dourif, I can't remember if he was the original voice for Chucky.
No, so it was somebody else and then he redubbed it. But it was Franklin.
Okay. I can't remember. It's been a while. But
Chucky makes a list. All right.
List.
Okay, so this is where we start.
And now we're getting a little bit edgy.
I'm gonna put this movie in because I'm pretty sure one of you guys might put it in. But I think it just because this was an entry point into me of a genre of movie that a genre that I just wasn't that familiar with. And it just kind of blew my mind. And it then led me down a path where I started exploring all this other stuff. And it's Akira.
Yes!
So it was just, yeah, like I said, nothing I've seen before. It was like a mature animation. Mm-hmm. And I discovered it quite late. And I think I was in my teens when I first watched it. But yeah, then I started going and looking off at Ninja Scroll and Ghost in the Shell and all this other stuff. But yeah, that was the movie that stuck with me. And I watched it only a year or so ago. They did like an anniversary screening in 4K. And yeah, I went and watched that. And yeah, it was just fantastic. So yeah, Akira makes my list. And in terms of my order, it was number 8 on my list. Have you guys got Akira on your list?
I do.
Me too.
Cool. Where did it rank on your list?
You first, Neil.
Oh, my list?
Yeah, where did it rank?
Akira's 5.
Akira's 5.
5. Wow.
5. But trust me, when I list the films from 1 to 4, you'll understand why it was 5.
Right. And Sasha, where does it sit for you?
Possibly number 1.
Right. Okay.
It was tough between that. Look, Akira was a lot of people's entry point into anime. Yeah. And manga and stuff. Mm-hmm. We'd never seen stuff like that before. You know what I mean? In the West, it wasn't as mainstream as it is right now. You know what I mean? Now it's quite mainstream and stuff. And even like the past 20 years, it's kind of been underground. You know what I mean? Maybe 30 years, 20 years, probably not so. I think stuff like Dragon Ball Z made it more commercial to young audiences and stuff
to get
in and stuff. And obviously people
and have Pokemon crunch. To a degree, you know, because of that, where the animation was from. Right. So yeah.
Pokemon and stuff. But obviously Akira is the granddaddy for the West for a Western audience.
Yeah.
At least where we're from anyway, because I never even heard of like 18 rated cartoons until I saw this, you know.
No, exactly.
And I was quite young when I saw this as well. Mm-hmm. I remember being like 10 or something around Simon's house, my mate Simon, and like he was like, yeah, you should check this, it's called Akira. And he showed it to me, and the blood and the violence, I was like, wow, this is mad, man, this is cool. And like you know, it opened the door to Ghost in the Shell, Pat LaBour, Wicked City, I'm naming all the VHS tapes because that's all we had available for a very long time, you know. And it wasn't until like the late 90s or early 2000s when DVD became a thing that more stuff started coming over and stuff. My all-time favorite anime is Cowboy Bebop. And you know, like that, you know, that was, that's very niche. You know what I mean? That's very niche, Cowboy Bebop, but it's all because of Akira. Akira was the one. I mean, the story still holds up. The you know what I mean? The animation is groundbreaking. Yeah, animation. Disney could not compete at that point with that. Even now, it's still stunning. You know what I mean? So
it is
a groundbreaking. It's a masterpiece, man.
I'm going to go on a limb.
Not just anime, but science fiction. You know.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that Akira is the best made film of 1988.
Well, yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Say live action. I'm like, if you look, because I remember I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I was 12, but there's a chance I was 11 because I watched this film. I was in year 7 in school. I remember my friend Oliver. I went to his house and his brother had a massive poster of
the bike.
No, I think the poster was of Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I didn't know what Ghost in the Shell was. And he was like, oh, and he started just reeling off stuff to me. And he was like, oh, this stuff was anime, you know, just, he didn't call it anime. It was like stuff called manga. Mm-hmm. And you go, what's this? And it's this, and it's this. And he mentioned Akira. And within 2 weeks, it came on Bravo.
Right.
Yeah. If you're old enough to remember Bravo, but it came on
just
Bravo.
Just remember it coming late night Channel 4 where most of the cool shit.
Yeah,
yeah, most of them it was. Channel 4. Eventually it was Channel 4.
For me, it was Channel 4, yeah. But Akira was Bravo. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I'd never seen an animated film where they even used harsh language.
Yeah.
And I was like, everything happened in Akira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think we've not gotten a live-action version of this?
Because I'll tell you exactly why. The West want to change it up. You see, Neo Tokyo or Tokyo is its setting.
Yes.
Is its setting. They want Warner Brothers have been trying to make this happen for years. And the main reason is you need an unknown Japanese cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Keanu Reeves was attached for a long time, wasn't he?
You know what? DiCaprio bought the rights to Akira to not make Akira.
Mm-hmm.
And he only relinquished the rights 7 years later because he realized how expensive it was to hold on to something that's never going to get made. So, you know, but the fact is, every single director that has come in on Akira, there comes a point where they understand... Mm-hmm. It needs to be a Japanese cast set in Japan. But Warner Brothers is like, no, it'll be Neo Manhattan and all of this stuff. But there's certain things in that movie that are culturally done that is very specific to Japan. Now, you could go make a Western version for sure, but there's a whole generation of people who are just going to shout and scream bullshit. You know what I mean?
If you thought... The visceral reaction that people had to Ghost in the Shell was bad.
Yeah.
True.
Remember, most people who love Ghost in the Shell probably loved Akira first.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's like you know how you think of it like like Spider-Man, right? You know we've got everybody knows who MJ is. Everybody, MJ, the love of his life, MJ, right? There's a certain crop of people who know about Gwen Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're like, you do what you want to Mary Jane. You do not disrespect Gwen Stacy.
Facts.
That is how people feel about Akira. So you can do what you want with Ghost in the Shell. Oh, yeah, you can make three. You want to make another one with Scarlett Johansson? Go ahead. You want to do this? Go ahead. So it's your business. As soon as you say, oh, I'm making Akira, I'm telling you, right, there'll be a cyber attack on the studio.
I'll be honest with you. The Ghost in the Shell movie, this is going to get me killed, but I'm going to go out on a limb.
No, it's not a bad movie.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but here's its misstepings, okay? Trying to take elements from the TV show, Standalone Complex, and put it in the movie, because Puppet Master? Yeah. That guy's the villain. That makes no sense. Well, maybe it does in the context for a movie for someone that's never seen it before, but that's not the story. You know what I mean? Like they just changed cases and try to make it work. And obviously, as a purist, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that's dumb. But I could have lived past that. The main thing was the casting of Scarlett Johansson. Now, here's the thing, all right? I actually didn't care, all right? And there's a reason why I didn't care, all right? Because she's a ghost in a shell, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's fine. Her original shell was an Oriental woman.
Mm-hmm.
That shell could be anything, all right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, I didn't have a problem with that. What I did have a problem with was them taking her to her house to meet her mother, which doesn't happen at all in the thing. You don't need to explain that to me. We're not fucking stupid. And it, and the other thing was, it just took the wind out the movie. You know what I mean? And it was just like, couldn't you just, balls to the walls, just make a Ghost in the Shell movie?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and the worst thing about it was they had everything else looking on point. You know what I mean? Like, the trailer, I'm sorry, the trailer looks
good. Trailer was good. Yeah, it was good.
It's not a terrible movie, but it's not, as a movie, not an adaptation, but as a movie for someone, if you were someone new into it, it's not that bad.
No.
But it's not great if you're a purist.
If you're
at all.
Fan.
In fact, it's garbage. But but I get it. I saw that with Leo actually, and Leo was just like, he was pissed.
I can imagine Leo not being happy at all. Yeah,
he was pissed. And he was, again, he was kind of pro like the Johansson thing until she went to her mum's house, and it was like, we're going with this. But anyway, I digress.
We digress slightly. But yeah, Akira, that makes the list. Sasha, what is your next pick?
3 days later.
No one's going to say Police Story 2, are they?
You don't know?
It's not on my list.
Well, I know that. You've never seen it. But Police Story 2. I'm sorry. Jackie's back. This is my number four. Look, this is one of, if I had to give you like a top three Jackie Chan old school movies, this is the Police Story for me. The park fight, when he fights people in the park.
I've seen that.
Bro.
Yeah.
Matt, that's a fight. People get hurt. Okay. Yeah. People get hurt.
Yeah, you see them getting hurt on screen.
Some people get murked, bro. Like, seriously, the moves he does in this fight has never been replicated on film as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean? Especially the way he's, like, fighting people on swings and seesaws. And it sounds like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. No, you haven't. Yeah. No, you haven't. Don't understand, man. There's stuff in that whole choreography of that is probably one of the best choreographed Jackie Chan fight scenes I've ever seen in my life. And then he tops it off with the mute guy with the fucking explosives. If you've ever played Metal Gear Solid 2, you've got the bomb man laying bombs and explosives and stuff.
Yeah.
He got a character like that in this film. And oh my God, man, it's insane. I love this film. I love both all three Police Stories. The rest of them are dead to me, but like the original three Police Stories,
right.
So good, man.
Where
so
does this
good.
Rank on your list?
This is number four.
Number four.
All no, right. Number three. This is my number three of the year. Yeah.
Okay.
So Sekiro, right. Die Hard could be subject to change on those.
Yeah,
two.
Depending on the day.
But Police Story 2 is my clear number three.
Number three. All right. Cool. Neil, is it on your list?
Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions.
Mother, right. I knew it wasn't on there.
That's a good shout, Sash. You know, like you say, you got to make sure those films hit the list. This list isn't going anywhere near I thought it was going to be. It's very different to what I have. So, Neil, this is your last pick. What's it going to be?
See, I'm torn, right? Because there are three very, very dear to my heart movies.
Yeah, I'm there's so many of my movies not making this list.
One of them, I can be assured it's on every list.
Yeah. Because remember, like, we're gonna vote for a movie at the end. And I can imagine there's at least two of these films which is on everyone's list.
Oh shit,
I just saw a film I should have saved.
Yeah, so that I'm like, I'm not putting that in. So that leaves me with two. Now, one of them,
I'm gonna retract Police Story 2, man.
we'll come to it. I might allow it.
Yeah,
but go on, Neil.
So I'm down to the two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, boys, I love you, but I can't trust either of you to sling this one in.
All right.
So I'm gonna have to do it myself. They Live.
Oh, it's not on my list because I haven't seen it.
Which Live.
Film? Yeah, I've not seen They Live either.
You see, the two of you would have killed me. I'd have been screaming from the rooftops.
Neil, why They Live? What's They Live? What's it about?
Right, so They Live is, so if you are born after the year 2000, it would roughly make you 23, going on 24 this year.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably seen clothing by a company, I think they may be called Supreme, and they have t-shirts that say Obey on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They Live is the reason you got that. This film was made, as we know, in 1988, John Carpenter, mm-hmm. so the maestro himself. And this film just takes two everymen, being Roddy Piper,
mm-hmm.
and before everyone knew the master that he is, Keith David.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just they're drifters. They get a job doing construction. And they're just living a regular life. Now, Roddy Piper, whose character's name is Nada,
mm-hmm.
he gets a pair of black sunglasses. But they're special sunglasses, because when he puts them on, it turns the world black and white. And what happens is when this world is black and white, he can see the reality of the world. So when he looks at a poster, the poster doesn't say, like, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's magic, maybe it's Maybelline or whatever the phrase is. Mm-hmm. He looks at it and it says consume. He looks at another poster, it says obey. He looks at another poster, it says, you know, it's like reproduce, you know.
Right.
And he finds out there's a world hidden from us as regular humans that our eyes can't adjust to. And it's that aliens are controlling our world. And he sees these aliens because they're walking around like regular people. But when you got the sunglasses on, you see what they really look like. And this film is so, oh my gosh. This film is just, it's necessary.
Yeah, it's one of those that I've been meaning to watch for so long. And I know one of the famous lines I have is like, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
I'm fresh out of bubblegum.
Bubblegum, yeah. It's like I've known that line. I think it was actually in the beginning of Zito's Gang's intro.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, right. And so I've known that for a long this time. And I've known, obviously, Roddy Piper because of being a big WWE fan, WWF fan back in the day. But it's just one I have never gotten around to. And when I was drawing this list up, I was like, again, you don't realize how many movies you haven't seen because of when you're growing up throughout those years is whatever you have access to as a kid. And it's all going to be family movies, comedy movies. And then you have to go back and watch some of these more, you know, adult type movies. And this is one that I've just never gotten around to. And I definitely want to watch it. I will give a shout out. He's on a couple of other people's lists, which I'm going to go into, but yeah, I totally get it. So
this is number three in my list.
Number three. Okay.
I'm hoping one of you brings number four.
Right. This is getting ridiculous now in terms of the amount of movies I have on here, which aren't going to make the list.
We must be able to pick one more film, right?
You've
got one more pick.
Story, so you might have two.
So, yeah, you've got one more pick. So I've got a pick. You've got a pick, Sasha, and then it's a collective. So I am going to put this movie in because it's number two on my list. And a movie which I watched over and over and over again as a child. and I've watched many times as an adult. It was groundbreaking at the time. It merged worlds which we had never seen before. It is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Hey.
And that generated feelings in me that I shouldn't have been having as a child towards animation.
Yeah.
And even as an adult, I shouldn't be having these feelings watching this film. Hey, but
this was the original Marvel crossover, man.
It was Disney and Warner Brothers crossover. It was, yeah, it was epic. The first time.
Hanna-Barbera as well.
Yeah, the fact they got all these characters crossing over and they, you know, it. What they did was, I think what it was is any time that Mickey was on screen, as long as Bugs had the same amount of screen time, then it was fine. So they had to balance the characters out to make sure that they had fair representation. But yeah, it's... Christopher Lloyd, the villain, was incredible. And, you know, I swear, even as younger, that end where the acids and the deaths, that's chilling. When that shoe gets dunked in first, that's heartbreaking. That gets you still. And it's just like the screams in that movie. And yeah, it just, but Bob Hoskins in that movie is just magic. And yeah, that blend of real life and animation, it's still never been done as well as when it was done then. You know, we've had hybrids ever since, and nothing's ever touched this. So, yeah, that was number two on my list. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It's my final draft pick. You guys got it on your list?
Yes, I do.
Honorable mentions.
My number six.
Neil, what is going on? Only an honorable mention.
Listen, I know at some point I'm going to have to reel off my actual top 10.
Yeah, we will do
and
that.
Other than 9 and 10, I'm sure that knowing me as well as you guys do, you'll be like, okay, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't need to replace Police Story 2 because, to be fair, I get another.
Yeah, you got another pick.
Name something. For a moment there, I thought, oh shit.
So, Tash, is Who Framed Roger Rabbit on your list?
Yes, it is. It's number six.
Number six. All right.
Number six. Cool. Yeah.
Right. So, Sasha,
I'm hoping you say. It is either four or six on my list.
Right. So, Sasha, this is your final pick. What are you going for?
So, this is my number nine.
Oh.
It could go higher, but the other films, actually, it could be my... There's always these last ones, which, you know what? Is it that low down? It can't be nine. Hang on, wait. One, two, three. Four.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at my list, and it hurts that some of these films aren't there.
All right, this is my number seven.
Okay.
I'm switching. Let me just switch this. All right. That'll make more sense. But this one made me laugh so hard and like I've watched it so many times. But no, this one's a real one, man. All right.
I'm thinking it's one of two films. Come on, Sasha, deliver.
It's probably going to disappoint you, Ken. I'm nominating the most, in my opinion, the most underrated Ridley Scott movie ever made. Black Rain.
No, what? Not on my list.
What? Have you guys seen Black Rain?
I don't think I've seen
it. Yeah, some honorable mentions.
Oh my God, Neil.
Black Rain.
Michael Douglas, Andy Garcia. It is like a kind of a buddy cop thing, but it's not. They hunt down, they find this big time Yakuza guy, and they've got to ship him back to Japan where he's on the loose, where he gets free, he's on the loose. It's up to them two.
Sasha, interjection.
What?
It was released in September 1989 in the US.
No!
Yes!
Yeah, so it doesn't make the list. You're going to have to save it for 89.
What?
Thank you,
Box Office Mojo. Because I didn't remember, because obviously I don't remember every movie on the list, but I was like, I don't remember Black Rain, because I think because of the director and who was in it, I would have looked
it
up.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll save that for 89.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on now. Come on.
Which means you can get Scrooged into your top 10.
It's already in there.
All right. That will go in my top 10. So I've got more comedies now. But so that means I get one choice then.
Okay. Yes, you get another go. Yeah.
I get another crack at the whip. All right.
Come on.
You know what?
Come on, son.
it's gonna have to be Coming to America.
Yes. Okay. Good man. Good man.
It's gonna have to be Coming to America. Okay. All right. I was gonna go with a little bit more obscure kind of thing, but that is my number 10, and give me another yarn to talk about. But it has to be Coming to America. Because
see, that's the one I thought we'd all agree on at the end, like in our number 10 spot. So he's on there now, which is fine. We're relaxed, we're chill. Eddie Murphy in like 10 roles. It's just comedy gold. Comedy gold.
Comedy gold. This is one, okay, this is a film where when I come back to, I see another funny thing.
Yeah.
And true. I used to watch this relentlessly all the time as a kid, but it's one nowadays, and this is what I do with most comedies now. I save it till I've almost forgot about it, and then I'll watch it, and then it's like jokes all over again. Yeah. So, like this one, last time I saw this one was just before I watched the second one, and
I did the same.
I haven't seen it since, but yeah, I still remember everything that happens in that movie. And it's also again one of those films. If it's on TV, I've got to see it all the way through. And yeah, man. So for all those people working in McDowell's,
you know, one of the most disappointing moments in my life was for one of the anniversaries of it. I think it might have been the 25th. They opened up a McDowell's.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh, did they?
They rebranded one.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't, I wasn't in New York, so I couldn't go there.
But yeah, it's everything. It's the barbershop guys. It's the, what's the name of the band? The
Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate. Yeah.
What's the name? Randy Jackson.
Randy. Yeah, it's just, there's just so much to this. And yeah, it's, yeah, I can talk about this for ages, but you know, it's what it is. Look, if you haven't seen Coming to America, go watch it. It's as simple as that. It is comedy gold. Yeah. Prime Eddie Murphy. And, you know, the supporting cast. You had James Earl Jones.
Samuel Jackson.
Vanessa. Was it Vanessa Calloway? John Amos.
Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, exactly.
And you think, right, Cuba Gooding Jr. has an uncredited role in there.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned Samuel L. Jackson as the crook.
Yes, yeah, that's right. That's like one of his first movies, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is technically, well, I wouldn't call it a sequel, but it shares a universe.
Oh, with Trading Places.
Yes.
Because it's got,
Bonamici and the other guy.
Yeah, Mortimer.
Yeah, they're beggars in this, aren't they? Because they've lost all their money and everything. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, good shout. Okay, so Coming to America makes a list. Right, now we'll go through our top tens. Let's talk about what we had individually, and then we're going to have to come up with our final ones. Just before we go through ours, I'm just going to go through some of our friends to the show. So first of all, we have Andreas. Let's see what he had on his list. So his number one was Die Hard, and that was by far, he said. Then he had Coming to America, Big.
Hey.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Rain Man, They Live, Child's Play, Action Jackson, License to Drive, Alien Nation. So, and then we had Dave. He had Heathers.
Yep.
A film I haven't seen.
That was Die Hard. I've seen the name. I was thinking about naming Heathers.
Right.
Yeah. But then I was like, it's got to be Coming to America.
So Heathers, Die Hard, They Live, Beetlejuice, License to Drive, Critters 2, A Fish Called Wanda, Child's Play, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Willow. So thank you very much to Dave.
Fuck Willow.
Take it up with Dave. It's his list.
It's his list, but I just have to say, fuck Willow. Fuck Willow.
I don't think I've actually seen it.
Oh, really? Slight spoiler. It's Star Wars, but fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the whole plot.
You've never seen it again?
No, I don't think so. No. I haven't seen that. I've never watched Neverending Story. There's a lot.
Yeah, I've never seen Never Ending Story either.
No. What's the other one with Bowie in it?
Labyrinth.
I've never seen Labyrinth.
What?
Yeah, I just wasn't into any of those movies growing up. So, right, Neil.
All right.
Yeah, you go on.
Sometimes you say stuff, and like I look at my Nerf gun, and I'm like, if he's in the same room, that's it. I feel like that old man in The Simpsons.
Yeah, it must be. And they had the Willow, obviously, sequel or TV show or something, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Neil, take us through your top 10.
Right. So, you want it in reverse order?
Go for it.
10 to 1. All right. So, film number 10 was Big.
Mm-hmm.
Film number 9 was Heathers.
Mm-hmm.
Film number 8 was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 7 was Child's Play. 6 was Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
5 was Akira. 4 was Coming to America. 3 was They Live. 2 was Die Hard. And 1 was Scrooged.
Right. Okay. I'll go through my top 10. So I had a number 10, A Fish Called Wanda. The Naked Gun. The Files of Police Squad. Akira. Beetlejuice. Big at number 6. I had Scrooge at number 5. At number 4, I had Twins. Then Coming to America, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Die Hard. Sasha, give us your top 10.
Heathers. Going backwards.
Yeah. Okay,
Heathers. The Naked Gun was the movie that I watched the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too damn funny, man.
So
damn funny.
It might take that number 10 spot, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Young Guns.
Young Guns. Honorable mention.
Yeah.
Okay. Grave of Fireflies.
Mm-hmm.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Coming to America. Police Story 2. Die Hard and Akira.
1 and 2.
One and two.
Yeah.
Whichever order I wake up with. But
yeah,
I'm feeling like Akira's the true winner for today, but like I don't know, man. I could wake up
and go either day, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Neil, take us through your honorable mentions.
All right. So
your mother was a slow blower.
We have Great Outdoors. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, Moving, Above the Law, Young Guns, Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, Twins, Bloodsport, Critters 2, Moonwalker, Killer Clowns from Outer Space,
mm-hmm.
Colors, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, License to Drive, Willow, Poltergeist 3, don't care what people say, I like that one, Mississippi Burning, The Deadpool, Oliver and Company, Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Rita, I blame you for that one. School Days, Vice Versa, Cocoon, The Return, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, The Vanishing, Earth Girls Are Easy, Police Story 2,
mm-hmm.
and Dragons Forever.
Right. There's a bunch of movies I haven't even heard of that you've mentioned there. So
Dragon Forever, man. Yeah.
Right. I'll go through my honorable mentions. Rain Man. Mm-hmm. Very close to making that top 10. Cocktail was that year. Short Circuit 2. Close to my heart.
Guys in that bloody movie.
Oh, man. Enough love. Bloodsport. The Lamb Before Time.
Oh, yeah. Them dinosaurs.
Yeah. That cut me up as a kid, man. Red Heat, Schwarzenegger, Moonwalker. Yeah, love my MJ. The Accused. Then we had Working Girl and Young Guns. So let's mention a little bit about Young Guns because some people might not know where that is. It's a Western, American Western action drama. It's basically in the adventures of Billy the Kid.
Yes, indeed.
During the Lincoln County War, which took place in Mexico between 1877 and 1878. Stars Emilio Estefez as Billy, and it's got Keith Sutherland, Lou Diamond Phillips, Charlie Sheen, Dermot Mulroney. So, you know, huge cast. It's got Terrence Stamp in it. Barry Keith, Jack Palance. Yeah, great cast. So, yeah, definitely yes. Honorable mentions. Never seen it, so I've created my never seen it list. Tequila Sunrise. Mel Gibson, Michelle Pfeiffer, Kurt Russell. I hadn't even heard of this movie, but I want to see it now.
You'd never heard of it?
I hadn't heard of it. Former LA drug dealer tries to go straight, but his past and his underworld connections bring him into the focus of the DEA, the Mexican feds, and the Mexican drug cartels. Yeah, so that's one for me to watch. They Live, Heathers, The Vanishing. So I hadn't seen this. So I think this is the Dutch version.
It's the original one.
The original. So Stanley Kubrick said it was the most terrifying film he'd ever seen. I was familiar with the 93 remake with Keith Sutherland, Sandra Bullock, Jeff Bridges, Nancy Travis. So I didn't realize that was a remake until obviously I saw this. So I know the story and the premise, but yeah, that I enjoyed the remake for what it was. So I do want to see the original. Mississippi Burn. Yeah, go on.
Certain films like The Vanishing, right?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they are scarier in their original language.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, well, no, absolutely.
Well, The Ring is definitely more scary.
Yeah. Mississippi Burning, again, I haven't watched that. So it's a crime thriller based on the 1964 murder investigation of civil rights workers of Chadney Goodman and Schwerner in 1964, I think it was. It's got Gene Hackman, William Defoe, two FBI agents. Sounds great. Haven't watched it. Need to watch it. And Bull Durham. I haven't watched that. This is a baseball movie.
Yeah.
So Kevin Costner plays like a young pitcher and Tim Robbins is competing and they're basically trying to compete for Susan Sarandon. She like sleeps with one rookie every year or something like that. So they're both vying for her affections. And License to Drive. I hadn't heard of this movie. And because it was on both of those guys' lists, I was like, what is this? Teen decides to go for a night out on the town with his friends despite failing his driver's test. Corey Haim, Heather Graham, Corey Feldman, James Avery, Uncle Phil, he's in it. So I was like, I need to check this movie out. So, yeah.
This is like, there's that era of like John Hughes movies. And then there was like the John Hughes kind of like.
Yeah, trying to be like a John Hughes.
John Hughes duplicates.
Yeah.
Right. And like some of them was good. Mm-hmm. And License to Drive is good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, okay. Right, so what I'm going to do now is we'll do an elimination. So we'll each put up two films.
Said my honourable mentions.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, Sash. Yeah, no. Sash, go for your honourable mentions. Apologies, my friend. Apologies.
That's all right. It's a big list, though.
Go for it.
You guys have probably said half of them. But anyway, Rain Man, Short Circuit 2, Crocodile Dundee 2, Rambo 3, Red Heat, Bloodsport, Cocktails, Big, Vice Versa, Beetlejuice, Tequila Sunrise, My Neighbor Totoro, Scrooged, Above the Law, although I was thinking about taking that down because I got Bloodsport. Bloodsport's better, but anyway. Police Academy 5, because I like funny films, even though it had no Mahoney. Working Girl, The Great Outdoors, Action Jackson, Maniac Cop, Dragons Forever, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, Moonwalker, and I'm Going to Get You, Sucker, which just made the list because I only saw it about a week ago.
That's a beautiful movie, though.
Yeah.
What's Action Jackson? I've not watched this.
So it's an action movie with
Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers.
Oh, Carl Weathers.
Is there. He's Action Jackson.
Yep.
Okay.
This was his first leading man role. His only leading man role, I do believe.
No.
Right.
No?
He's in the Defiant Ones.
Oh, okay.
Him and Tony.
But yeah, this was the one that was gonna be his action movie A-listing kind of to stardom kind of thing. Yeah. And it bombed. But it was more a case of schedule. I think it was wrong time kind of thing. I think people would have watched it, if that makes sense. It's definitely got a cult following. And obviously, when he passed recently, you know, it's kind of had a bit of a resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good movie.
Okay. Oh, Sharon Stone's in it as well. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, he's in a tux. He looks very like James Bond on the front. So, okay. Right. So let's all put two movies forward that we want to be on the list, and then we'll do a nomination. So, Neil, what two movies are you going to put up?
What's the list?
So we basically got one spot left. So our list as it stands, we've got Scrooge, Die Hard, Grave of the Fireflies, Child's Play, Akira, Police Story 2, They Live, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Coming to America. So that's on the list. We've got one more spot available. So it's putting your nominations forward. So put two forward that you'd want to make the list.
Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
And Heathers.
Okay.
Nairo and Scoundrels. I'm sorry. I love you. Don't worry. I'll watch you tomorrow. I'll make up for it.
Okay. So the two that I'm going to put up, I could go Beetlejuice, but it's not a movie I've revisited many times.
Well, you're going to revisit it this year, though.
I will revisit it this year. No, I will do. Big is up there. It is a classic. This is tough. Twins. Oh, I used to love Twins. Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, man. That was gold. But okay, the two that I'm going to put up, different from Neil, so it'll end up being Sasha with the decider, I think. I'm going to put up The Naked Gun, Files and Police Squad. For me, this was the type of comedy I hadn't seen before. Do you know what I mean? Just that kind of visual slapstick, the timing, there's jokes just going on in the background constantly. And the second one is A Fish Called Wanda, because that film, again, it's a British classic, and yeah, absolutely love it. So if you don't know what A Fish Called Wanda is, if you're watching or listening, it's like a slapstick heist black comedy film, and it's basically got a British gangster, George Thompson, and he's got an aide called Ken Pyle, who's Michael Palin, and you've got a couple of other Americans, Jamie Lee Curtis, and you've got Kevin Klein, and then you've got John Cleese as his lawyer, and basically it's this going back and forth about these stolen diamonds, and it's just double cross after double cross, and it's just fantastic. You've got this Ken Pyle, Michael Palin's character, he's trying to kill this elderly woman who's a witness, and he keeps failing, and there's just these things right, which is just absolutely hilarious. So yeah, I'm gonna put those forward. So Sasha, I guess it comes down to you. We've got Beetlejuice, Heathers, Naked Gun, and A Fish Called Wanda. So you could put two other totally other films up, and then we'll have to go around again. But
I was gonna put Heathers, and then I was like, you know what, maybe not. I'm gonna put The Naked Gun, and then you said, Naked Gun. Now I'm like, Heathers or Naked Gun? I don't know.
Sasha with the final decision for that final spot.
And I know Dave's listening, and if I don't put Heathers in, he's gonna kill me. But at the same time, I watched The Naked Gun a lot.
Yeah, I've never seen Heathers, so I can't comment.
And you know what? It's going to have to be Twins and The Naked Gun. Therefore, It's The Naked Gun. I'm sorry, Neil. I'm sorry, Heathers people. Here's the thing. I do like Heathers, but it comes down to this. I've seen Heathers a handful of times, and it's a film where I'm like, yeah, that's a good movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a handful of times, maybe eight times, all right? Easily eight times. I don't own it, you know, so that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
You know what I do own? I do own Detective Frank Drebin and his fucking trilogy and his TV show. And I really wish they made that fourth movie because it sounded amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah.
Good. All right. Good shout, Sasha. And yeah, I can say this. I actually thought we'd have more movies in common, similar, but this list is very different, and I love it, and that's what we're here to do. It's bringing us to new films. So I've seen on our top 10 list, I've actually not seen two of the films, and that just shows the variation and what we grew up on and what we love, because it's different representations. So our official top,
not seen two.
Yeah, so I haven't seen Grave of the Fireflies, and I've not seen They Live from our top 10. So in terms of our final Crave Control top 10, we have, in no particular order, we have Scrooged, Die Hard, Grave of the Fireflies, Child's Play, Akira, Police Story 2, They Live, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Coming to America, and The Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad. I think that's a pretty damn solid list. Final thoughts, guys, on that list?
I'm happy with the first nine.
He's not bitter. Okay, well, look.
How could you not like the way O.J. Simpson dies in that film?
I just don't like
not O.J. Simpson dies. No, the bad guy. Who's the guy that's from Star Trek that dies in it? He's got a funny name. The guy that's Khan. What's his name? That guy. The way he dies, my God.
Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban. Vincent Ludwig. Yeah. So, yes, Neil, you just don't even like the film at all.
It's just not. I can't even say it's that brand of comedy because I like parody films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, as you know, I've never seen the Airplane films.
Have you seen The Naked Gun?
But I've seen The Naked Gun and I'm just like, it's just not for me. Wow. It's just not for me. I'm just like, nah, this is weak.
All right. Okay. I can't tell you're wrong, except you're wrong. but we like what we like. That's the whole point. But now I definitely need to go away and watch two of these films. They Live, Trade to the Fireflies, and check these out. And that's what I love about doing these, because it brings movies to my attention that I haven't watched or I haven't even heard of. Mississippi Burning, there's just so many things here. Tequila Sunrise that I need to go away and watch. Okay, well, watchers and listeners, let us know what you thought in the comments. Do you like our list? Do you agree with it? What were the shockers that didn't make the list for you? Beetlejuice, Rain Man, Bloodsport. There's a lot of films here that didn't make the list. So let us know what you think. As always, we appreciate if you hit that like and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. And if you're following us on audio podcast, make sure you hit that follow button. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us a 5-star review, whether it be on Apple or Spotify, we would appreciate it. All right, cool. Thanks very much, guys, for joining me today. Really appreciate it. Our next episode, we're going to be discussing Spider-Man, What Next? So look out for that episode dropping next week. And that's it for now. So until next time, peace out.
Peace.